The trading floor is closed. It's time to cut through the chatter and find the clarity. From the studios of Farm Journal Broadcast, this is AgriTalk After the Bell. Here's your host, Chip Flory.
And welcome to AgriTalk After the Bell, everybody. We are live at the 2018 National Ethanol Conference, San Antonio, Texas. Thanks very much to Keiko Isom and S&P Global for making it possible for us to make the trip down here to Texas. Davis, how you doing back there, buddy? You know, I come all the way south to Texas. I'm expecting to find some decent weather. It's like 40 degrees and cloudy, rainy, It's not much.
It was there, I found, beside the Alamo, enchantment strange as the blue up above. I mean, there was a moonlit path, only she would know. It still hears my broken song of love. I would just throw that in there.
I'm sure that you're quoting some kind of a song, dude, but I ain't there with you. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a San Antonio Rose.
Is it?
It is.
Well, that's awesome. Good for you.
Never mind. Forget it. Forget it. It's cold up here and snowy and windy and it stinks. Is that what you were looking for?
There you go. There you go. That's what I was looking for.
It doesn't stink, but it is cold.
Oh, very good. Hey, man, the dollar was lower today. Crude was mixed. Stocks were higher, are higher. Corn slightly lower. Soybeans, solid gains in that bean market again, buddy. Soybean meal led the way to the upside again. Bean oil was, again, worked to the downside. Wheat was lower. Live cattle mixed to lower in the nearbys. Feeder cattle mixed. Lean hogs were also mostly lower in today's trade. Okay. Down here, we're going to be talking about biofuels issues. We're going to talk with Donna Funk from Keiko Isom, and we're going to talk with Sophie Byron. Sophie is with S&P Global Platts, and we're going to be talking about some development potential in the ethanol industry. We're going to be talking about ethanol exports. And then at the end of the show, Kerry Johnson, product line leader for Cargill Ag Marketing Services, is going to give us a call and tell us what she thinks about what's going on in this soy complex market. So should be an interesting day here, buddy.
Sounds like a high-octane show, Chip.
You see what you did there?
Sorry.
You see what you did? Give us a call, everybody. It's 855-4TALK-AG, 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us with the hashtag ChipATB. All right, we got a lot to cover, bud, so let's go ahead and get started. What moved the markets today?
Well, buddy, the U.S. dollar index was sharply lower with downside pressure accelerating on the move through short-term support at the 90-even level in the spot month. Traders continue to say the dollar is having little day-to-day influence on the grain markets, but the overall trend still favors higher commodities.
Yeah, you know what? Today felt like one of those days that corn was following. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Like it was following crude oil.
What?
That used to be the old trade. If the dollar was lower, crude would be higher and corn would follow crude to the upside. Hmm. Crude had a tough time trading on the plus side, and so did corn today. We got to start watching that a little bit closer here going forward.
Well, wheat futures started the session under pressure, but did show a willingness to follow corn to the upside near midday. There is some rain in the forecast for the southern plains, but the best chances for much-needed precipitation are south of the hard red winter wheat belt. Still, traders say the ability of some rain to make it into the region took support from wheat prices today.
Yeah, wheat opened higher, pushed through resistance at 465 in March, soft red. Then put that put the market at the highest level since October 4, but then the profit taking came back into the market. Huh. The good news here, the contract is still on top of the highest of two short-term uptrending support lines. So we were lower today, but we didn't do much chart damage.
Well, March hard red futures were down 3 cents to 474.5. March soft red off 3.25 at 460.75. March spring wheat fell 8.5 to 601.5. Pro Farmer Crop Consultant Dr. Michael Cordonier from Soybean and Corn Advisor cut 2 million metric tons from his Brazilian corn crop estimate and cut another 1 million tons from his Argentine corn crop estimate just this morning. That puts Dr. Cordonier's Brazilian corn crop peg at 86 million tons and Argentina at 38 million tons. Also, on the supply side of the market, South Africa has declared a national drought disaster chip in three crop-producing provinces. Traders say that could keep South African corn out of the export market this year.
Yeah, exactly. And don't forget how Michael's crop estimates line up with others in the industry. Conab out of Brazil is at 88 million tons. That's where Michael was, and he knocked a couple of tons off of that. And USDA's update last week, which admittedly was as of February 1, was at 95 million tons. So there's a big difference between USDA and where some of the others in the industry are right now.
Yeah, you forgot to say Ag Rural. Technically, March corn futures traded to the highest level since October 25, but chart watchers say the inability to close higher could trigger a midweek setback tomorrow. March corn futures were down a quarter cent to 366 and three quarters. July corn fell a half cent to 382 even. December corn closed at 396. That's down a penny on the day. Dr. Cordonier also updated his soybean crop estimates for South America. He trimmed 1 million metric tons from the Argentine bean crop, dropping the peg to 50 million tons for Brazil. He left the estimate unchanged at 112 million metric tons. The hot and dry weather outlook for Argentina is still in place through the end of the week, but some traders noted the 10-day outlook now includes the opportunity for some heavier, more widespread rains. That limited buying interest in soybeans, but with meal futures at contract highs, pressure on bean prices is expected to be light and short-lived. Chip.
Yeah, man, if those rains do come 10 days from now, we'd have to wait another month before we get a good idea of what the Argentine bean crop's going to be.
Well, March soybean futures were 10 cents higher at 10.11 and three quarters. July beans also gained a dime to 10.32. November soybeans closed at 10.19 and one quarter, up 5 cents today. Hey, Chip, let's save the livestock for the bottom of the hour. What do you say?
That sounds good because we got to get to the Chicago Mercantile Exchange to get a feel from the floor from Joe Vaklevic with Standard Grain. Joe, you know, when you take a look at how those markets traded today, worked up to new highs, backed off from the highs. Any reason for concern as far as attitudes are in this market right now?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you showed most analysts those that USDA report, the bean numbers, especially from last week, they'd probably tell you you should be at a $9 bean market and not a $10 bean market, or maybe even south of there. So this Argentina thing is like the big, big wild card out there. I mean, you saw it more in the meal market today than anything. But, yeah, that's the big unknown, and that's the reason why the market is as high as it is. And like you said, we're not going to know for a while what type of crop they have there. So, yeah, there's a lot of concern here on both sides.
Yeah. You know, Joe, I'm having a hard time figuring out how we're going to see much pressure on this bean market if we've got soybean meal trading at or near contract highs right now. We got to be pumping up the crush margins, right?
Yeah, I mean, the crush spreads have gone nuts here recently with this run in the meal. And I guess that's where is it going to be enough to make up what we don't do in exports, or are exports going to pick up because Argentina doesn't have a crop? I mean, there's too many unknowns here, and that's why the funds don't want to be short anymore. I mean, I think it's as simple as that for the moment.
Yeah, but from a producer's perspective, they've got to realize that if all of a sudden the support comes out of this meal market, it's going to come out of beans.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think this is a marketing opportunity. I mean, any sort of weather scare, crop scare generally offers a marketing opportunity. Timing it and pricing it, of course, are much more difficult than just saying that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But we've got some opportunities out there in front of us right now. If it works for you, I know what you would say, Joe. If it works for you, you probably better be getting some sales on, right?
Hey, if we can make money, that's a tough thing to come by these days. So
that's
by
right.
all means.
That's right. All right, Joe. Thanks, bud. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yep. See you, Jeff. Bye.
Yep. That is Joe Vaklevic from Standard Grain in Chicago. Okay, we're talking biofuels next with Donna Funk from Keiko Isom and Sophie Byron from S&P Global Platts. That's next on AgriTalk ATB.
Tired of yesterday's missed weeds becoming today's big problem? Get rid of missed weeds for good with Liberty, the herbicide that puts an end to missed weeds, guaranteed. Plus, Liberty is proven effective on tough-to-control and resistant grasses and broadleaf weeds. So choose Liberty, the simply better solution for superior weed control. Backed by the Liberty Weed Control Guarantee. Talk to your retailer to learn how you can qualify for the Liberty Guarantee. Always read and follow label directions.
Putting in a hard day's work, doing the right thing, treating people with respect. American values as true as the wind that blows through our farms. For nearly 30 years, there's been an American company working side-by-side with farmers to harness the power of wind, creating local jobs and new reliable sources of income for small towns. We are NextEra Energy Resources, an American company proud to bring clean, renewable energy home. Learn more at NextEraEnergyResources.com.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
This is Andrew McRae, host of the American Countryside, inviting you to join myself and farm journal listeners on an adventure to Italy, August 8th through the 17th. We'll enjoy Rome, Florence, and Venice, see the Colosseum, the canals, rolling hills, and sprawling vineyards, and much more. Get the details by clicking the link at AmericanCountryside.com or just give Colette Travel a call at 800-581-8942. That's 581-8942, and mention American Countryside's Reflections of Italy tour. There's an early bird discount for farm journal listeners, so don't wait. Join us today.
Where do you turn to protect your bottom line? It's time you turn to ProFarmer for easy-to-follow market news and advice for both cash marketers and futures and options users. Visit TryProFarmer.com today for a no-obligation four-week trial to the nation's number one marketing newsletter. That's TryProFarmer.com. ProFarmer is not a brokerage firm, so you're not going to get a lot of in-and-out trading advice or elaborate option strategies. You will get rock-solid fundamental market outlook and recommendations that farmers have relied on for generations. Stop sifting through mountains of confusing analysis. ProFarmer selects only the most important news to save you time and keep you focused on what really matters. Make better informed marketing decisions to protect your bottom line. Try the ProFarmer newsletter absolutely free. Visit TryProFarmer.com. That's TryProFarmer.com.
Market Rally is brought to you by Credenz Soybean Seed from Bayer. Designed using smart genetics with tailored varieties to fit any field condition.
That's right.
Deep within my heart lies melody, song.
See, now it's familiar to me. I don't know why I didn't catch it when you were.
See, last time you were in San Antonio. Yeah, last time you were in San Antonio, I recited the first verse. And yes. I thought, you know, for the sake of continuity, I would start with the second verse this time around.
Davis,
and it just wrecked everything. And now it's had so much explanation.
Welcome back to AgriTalk After the Bell, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory. We are live at the National Ethanol Conference down in San Antonio. Thank you to Keiko Isom and S&P Global for making it possible for us to be down here. And speaking of those two companies, we've got two representatives with us today. We've got Donna Funk. Donna is with Keiko Isom. Welcome back to AgriTalk, Donna. Donna and I had a conversation this morning on AgriTalk. We're going to build on that a little bit here. And we've got Sophie Byron from S&P Global Platts. Sophie, welcome to ATB.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Now, just a word of warning here. They just let out a session. It's going to get a little noisy in here, but we're going to soldier through this. Donna, we're talking this morning about the tax reform package, and when I asked you from a farmer's perspective what kind of a grade Gotcha. Okay, now from an ethanol producer's perspective, we'll
you know, new technologies and some bolt-on technologies that will expand their own capacity. I think they are still looking for growth, and it's just, you know, they still look at it from a what is the return and payback, maybe right. a little different analysis than it was 7, 8, 9 years ago, yeah. but definitely still looking for growth opportunities. And I think there are some things in the tax bill that will help with some of that ROI perspective as well. So
okay. So generally speaking, what is how do you view the environment in the ethanol industry right now? I mean, I know you work with a lot of people in the industry. Is it upbeat? Is it somewhat cautious? What's the attitude in here?
I would say it's probably mixed, depending on a little bit of what your location is and what your grain basis is right now. You know, we've got, for the most part, low grain prices, but we've also got very low ethanol prices.
Right.
So, you know, that grain basis is very different at different regions of the country, and we're depending on what plants did as far as a risk management and, you know, how they got their grain bought for what period of time, you know, you'll hear mixed stories on people's outlook in the short run. I think everybody believes the long run it's going to come back and, you know, everybody's going to be just fine. It's that short run period where there's mixed emotions right now.
Okay, one of the things that we didn't talk about earlier today, Donna, was the tax extenders package and the impact on biofuels. Explain what they did.
So what they did was they basically went back and said, okay, we're going to put the biodiesel credit back in play for 2017, which is good, but it did nothing to help futuristic looking because they didn't do anything for 2018 or 19 or 20. It was a strictly a retroactive look back with nothing for the future. So it really, in some way, still kind of handcuffed people's ability to think forward about what does that industry look like without that being there for some level of certainty.
Right. And it's that certainty that really matters. I talked,
exactly.
talked with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley on AgriTalk yesterday. He seemed to still be holding out some hope that they could find a way to get that extension into 2018 for the biodiesel credit. I think it's going to be a that's going to be a battle, isn't it?
I think it will be. I mean, I think they're running out of ways to get that done
yeah.
already. And, you know, with it being an election year, they're not going to look to work any extra days that
right.
they don't have to. So, I mean, I think, will it get done? Probably. But I don't know that it gets done in any different time frame than what happened for 17.
Yeah.
Which isn't helpful for the industry, unfortunately.
Yeah, so we've got to wait until the end of 2018 or early 2019 before we get our tax extenders again. It just doesn't make any sense to me the way that they're doing this. Would it change the industry if all of a sudden we had Grassley found a way? I shouldn't just say Grassley. The Senate found a way to put that extender for biodiesel in through 2018. It would change the industry.
I think it would change the industry, and it would really change more if they didn't just do it for 18, but if they said,
yes.
we're putting it back, and it's 18, 19, 20.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, that really gives people a time frame to say, okay, well, because you can't start a project and get it done in 18,
yep.
you know, and still be able to take real advantage of it. So if you give them that 3-year or, you know, even better, make it a 5-year extension, which I think is probably next to impossible
right.
for them to do that. But even if they did a 3-year extension, it gives people that longer window to say, okay, I can project out how that will impact me. And, you know, it incentivizes people to do something. 12 months back doesn't
yeah.
create incentive.
No. You know, 3 years would be phenomenal. 5 years would be spectacular
yeah.
for what it would do for this industry. Sophie, I know that you watch this RIN market very closely, biodiesel being an advanced biofuel. When the tax extender happened, and it was for 17 but not 18, did that have an impact on that RIN market?
We saw prices probably go up about 14%. So that's a kind of a knee-jerk reaction that suddenly, you know, you're trading a lot higher. But you still, as we said, you've got that uncertainty factor. I think a lot of people are very happy and very relieved that it came in. And the fact that they were pricing it in, that optionality, into their biodiesel physical contracts, and that came through, a lot of people yeah, had that relief. RIN prices had that knee-jerk reaction, but again, you know, you've still got those questions for 2018.
Yeah. Now, when we talk about this RIN market, it's really right at the heart of all the calls for reworking the renewable fuel standard. Do we need to make changes to the RFS to, I don't know, smooth out the RIN market?
It's an interesting question, and I guess it depends on who you ask. Yeah. You know, I mean, we've all heard the arguments from every side that yes, you should, no, you shouldn't, maybe you should, you know. So I'm not going to repeat every possible answer. You know, those markets, you know, do react to policy and potential policy changes. So if you look at a price graph, perhaps this time last year, you know, when we had kind of Trump coming in, suddenly went from, you know, very, very high prices at the beginning of December to, you know, record low prices in March. And in reality, the supply and demand fundamentals hadn't really changed that much.
Right.
It was trading on the potential and the policy potential as well.
So had Bob Dineen on this morning, Jeff Cooper, they both basically said the same thing. If you want to fix RINs, blend more. Is it that simple?
Well, perhaps drive more would be another one as
well.
There
you go.
You know, the gasoline demand, you know, is always going to be a big, big factor in how much ethanol we blend. You know, if people get in their cars and drive more, then, you know, you need more gasoline with ethanol. Okay, that would, you know, take a big part of that. But we are, you know, as the U.S., we are net long ethanol. So that dependence, yes, on the domestic market, but increasingly on the export market as well, you know. It may be, when you look at the whole market, a small percentage of the production, but it, you know, as a price factor, it's very key about how much is going out of the country as well.
Yeah. So is E15, is parity for E15, as Bob likes to say, mm-hmm. parity for E15, is that a potential answer?
I think on a demand factor, yeah, if we had E15 across the country, that would, you know, definitely translate into more demand, which would, you know, we've got the supply, you know, we're not lacking in ethanol anywhere in the country as well. So, you know, an option, yes, could be that as well.
Very good. Very good. All right. We are talking with Donna Funk from Kayco Isom and Sophie Byron from S&P Global Platts. One of the biggest topics of discussion down here, and we're going to get to this in the next segment, is ethanol exports. And I know we've seen a surge in our exports to Brazil in particular. That happened at the end of 2017. I want to know, is it continuing into 2018? And more importantly, why? And how long could it last? I mean, they're going to be cutting sugar down there pretty soon. I got to believe that that's going to have an impact on their demand for U.S. ethanol. That's next on AgriTalk ATB.
Oh, Ed, see the headlines?
Yep. Credenz soybeans are designed using smart genetics.
Look, state-of-the-art breeding advances the best germplasm.
Plus, tailored varieties for any field conditions with choice in herbicide-tolerant traits.
And Credenz soybeans come backed by Bayer's ongoing innovation.
Want increased yields and ROI? Plant the smarter soybean.
Talk to an authorized Credenz retailer or discover the right Credenz variety at credenz.bayer.us.
Always read and follow label instructions.
This is Andrew McRae, host of The American Countryside, inviting you to join myself and farm journal listeners on an adventure to Italy, August 8th through the 17th. We'll enjoy Rome, Florence, and Venice, see the Colosseum, the canals, rolling hills, and sprawling vineyards, and much more. Get the details by clicking the link at AmericanCountryside.com or just give Colette Travel a call at 800-581-8942. That's 581-8942, and mention American Countryside's Reflections of Italy tour. There's an early bird discount for farm journal listeners, so don't wait. Join us today.
It's time for After the Bells Tech Talk. Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vogt joins us. Dan, what's the market move that matters the most today, buddy?
Hey, Chip, I'm looking at March RBOB gasoline futures today. And with crude oil and the distillates, gasoline prices posted a big rally through the second half of 2017, as indicated by the March RBOB contract rising from $1.2997 per gallon last June to January 26th peak at $193.93. It's since taken a big hit, diving all the way to $165.19 at today's low before closing at $168.53. Today's bottom was its lowest since late October. But I have to wonder if it's now set for a comeback, since today's intraday rebound created what looks very much like a classic hammer reversal signal on its candlestick chart. The fact that its 14-day relative strength index has fallen to oversold levels also suggests the potential for a technical bounce.
Wow, I just pulled up that chart for the first time. That's a big move. Thanks, Dan. That's Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vogt.
Are you paying too much for fuel and fertilizer? verify you're getting the best price with Inputs Monitor from Farm Journal Media. Knowing the low, average, and high price quotes from dealers in your area for fertilizers and farm fuels can save you thousands of dollars. Inputs Monitor gives you an easy, anonymous method to compare fertilizer and fuel prices from across the Midwest. Plus, get grower-focused buying advice, local pricing charts, industry news, and purchase alerts so you don't miss any critical buying opportunities. Visit InputsMonitor.com for subscription information. That's InputsMonitor.com. Unbiased and farmer-focused, Inputs Monitor is the newest and best tool to help growers buy inputs at exactly the right time. Before you book your next fertilizer or fuel contract, verify you're getting a fair price with Inputs Monitor. Learn more at InputsMonitor.com. That's InputsMonitor.com.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Today's trading is over. Now it's time to set your strategy for tomorrow. This is AgriTalk After the Bell with Chip Flory.
And welcome back to AgriTalk ATB, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory. We're live at the 2018 National Ethanol Conference in San Antonio. Before we get back to the conversation, let's get a recap on what happened in the markets today from Davis.
Well, Chip, March hard red futures were down 3 cents to 474.5. March SRW off 3.25 at 460.75. March corn futures were down 0.25 to 366.75. December corn closed at 396, down a penny today. March soybean futures were 10 cents higher at 10.11.75 with Novi beans at 10.19.25. That's up a nickel today. On your livestock side, live cattle traders are taking a cautious approach to reports of cash trade at 129 in the Midwest. Chip, that was in the Iowa Southern Minnesota market, and some pretty light trade there. Plains trade is expected to be steady to firm this week, but it did limit selling pressure in futures. April cattle were off 22.5 cents to 124.77.5. June cattle slipped 7.5 cents to 116.65. March feeders fell 40 cents to 147.27.5. On the snout side, anticipation of increasing slaughter numbers later this year weighed on spring and summer month hog futures today. April lean hogs were off $1.10 to 69.42.5, and June hogs fell 77.5 cents to 79.52.5. There's your quick market recap. Let's get back to San Antone.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. We're talking with Donna Funk from Keiko Isom. Thank you for sponsoring us while we're down here. And Sophie Byron from S&P Global Platts, also a sponsor of our broadcast from the National Ethanol Conference in San Antonio. Sophie, we were talking about RINs and impacts, how we might be able to influence that and where the demand is coming from. One of the areas that, I told Bob Dineen this morning, I said, a year and a half ago, something like that, I was so close to saying, you know what, we've got enough demand in this market, let's just let it be market driven, maybe back away from all of our demands on the RFS. But the RFS is all about maintaining market access. I get that. We've got to support that out there now. But when we look at demands from outside of the U.S., we've got some outstanding buyers of U.S. ethanol out there around the world. And at the end of the year, at the end of 2017, Brazil came on like gangbusters and started buying ethanol. Why?
Well, there's a couple of reasons there. I mean, one is clearly price. So the center-south region in Brazil is currently in its intercrop period, so they're not really crushing as much sugar, which means that there's not much supply, so demand has continued to grow and prices go up. The hydrous demand, which is your kind of E100, is up about 4% this season compared to last season. And that's really because gasoline in the country's got more expensive. Petrobras is now pushing the price of gasoline in line with the international market, which has made that E100 at the pump that bit more competitive, that bit cheaper. So, you know, when people pull up with their flex fuel vehicles and they can go, okay, here's my E100 hydrous and here's my gasoline with 27% anhydrous, you know, I'm going to pick the E100. So that's, we've seen that real kind of pick up in demand there as well. So overall, it's really opened that arbitrage between the two regions, and we've seen this kind of increase in flow.
Yeah. Is the technology in the vehicles in Brazil really that different than what we've got up here?
I mean, the demand really is around Center-South state, I'd say. Sorry, São Paulo state in the Center-South. You know, you've got a lot of flex fuel vehicles, and, you know, it really isn't that different in a lot of ways as well. So, you know, whether the U.S. could ever get there, I think, you know, you'd get into a policy discussion pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But, you know, for Brazil, you know, it's, you know, they've got their sugarcane that they turn into ethanol, and, you know, that's really the kind of background behind that as well.
Okay, so they've got another sugar harvest coming up in the northern part of the state or the country coming, what, within?
Well, the new Center-South season basically starts beginning of April, though I would expect some of the mills perhaps to start crushing a little bit early because we've got such good ethanol prices. Sugar as well is not giving as good a return as ethanol. So if you look at the sugarcane ethanol mix, I'd expect, you know, more ethanol production over the sugar for the next season.
Okay.
The north-northeast region, which is the region you were asking about, that region is net short ethanol. So if you look at the trade flows from the U.S., they're always typically going to go into the north first. And that's going to be pulling, you know, at least two-thirds of the volume that's being exported from the U.S.
Okay, what about the tariff? Brazil has got
It's 20% over 150 million liters per quarter. And the quarters don't line up with the calendar quarters because the program was actually started in September.
Okay.
So December was actually the beginning of the next quarter.
Okay.
So you had that kind of, we kind of got a little bit of gap before we start hitting that 20%.
Yeah, but there was some pent-up demand in the market.
And if you look at prices now, even with that 20%, the arbitrage is still open. So there's still lots of product flowing over there, you know, on top of, you know, that standard quota as well.
So the importers in Brazil, when they see that 20% tariff on top of the price of ethanol, what is their attitude? Are they going to the government and saying, listen, we just need to scrap this?
So the history behind the tariff is really because Brazil was receiving so much U.S. ethanol. A lot of the domestic producers, particularly in the north, were saying, look, we want our industry to, you know, have, you know, be able to compete with these, and we can't if we're getting all of this kind of corn ethanol coming in. And there was, you know, a tariff in Brazil, you know, a couple of years ago. So it's really that they brought this tariff back in sooner than anticipated. And, you know, there was a comment by the agriculture minister in Brazil in January saying that, you know, the tariff could be reviewed. But it does seem like, you know, you still got imports coming in from the U.S. and the domestic guys are happier, the producers are happier because they're still being able to produce and compete as well.
Interesting. So I want to ask about DDGs too.
Okay.
Because we've got the tariffs on DDGs from the U.S. into China. I don't want to say that it's killed that market, because when you see what happened to the imports of DDGs in Vietnam, the imports of DDGs into Turkey, you wonder if those DDGs are really staying in Vietnam, in Turkey, or if they're finding their way into China. You know, kind of a backdoor import strategy there. But when the DDG prices here, now, it may be one of the reasons that soybean meal has been able to rally as much as it has, because our DDG prices, guys were buying it at $100 a ton here last year. Now it's $130, $135 a ton. What is going on there?
So I think that kind of high prices really started at the beginning of the year when it was cold and when it was cheaper. And then suddenly you had, you know, a lot of people, all this demand that kind of carried on, and people don't, you know, change their feed super quickly. So we had all of that, domestic demand, which is actually absorbing a lot of that product, you know, coupled with the exports that have been going on, you know, to Vietnam, to Turkey as well, that suddenly saw that DDG price just kind of rocket up. And then now we're starting to see the price kind of come off as people say, look, I just, you know, I don't want to buy at this price. You know, I'm going to kind of rethink it and look at other options.
So how do we, you know, supply and demand obviously is going to set what the price mm-hmm. is for DDGs. But is it at the right price here in the States?
I mean, what is the right price? The right price, you know, someone will sell, someone will buy. I mean, DDGs is interesting because, you know, some people will price it in relation to corn. Some mm-hmm. people will do it flat price. You know, there are lots of different methods of pricing it. I think relative value to corn is usually the most popular one. How much, you know, we've been exporting, you know, you haven't got quite a kind of a liquid chain market that you do with perhaps some of the more developed, you know, soybean meal markets as well. So I think there is, you know, a little bit more development perhaps in the market before you get slightly more liquidity as well. And maybe, we, you know, as we continue to produce more and more ethanol, we will get there.
Okay. Back to the ethanol exports. Brazil has been a bright spot. Yeah, they're going to start crushing more sugar and making more ethanol here April. Maybe late March, that'll take away some of that demand. But we're developing markets for ethanol all over the world right now, right?
Yeah. I mean, India perhaps is one to look out for kind of 2018. They kind of have got a bigger sugar crop coming on, but we expect, you know, exports from India to be up about 11% this year. Japan, which, you know, is currently reviewing rules to allow corn ethanol as a feedstock for ETBE as well. Okay. So there's an option that's being discussed, I think, end of February, March. So there's some decisions from the Japanese government expected. You have got the kind of slightly reverse. So you've got, for example, the Colombian government, which is not issuing any import licenses for U.S. ethanol because they've concerned with the competition with their domestic productions. You know, they're really kind of, when you look at some of the bigger flows, slightly smaller, but, you know, there are those kind of trends, you know, present in the market as well.
Okay. I can't believe we're running out of time here. Good grief. Because I ask almost everybody that might have an idea, I ask almost everybody this question. Is China serious with its ethanol plans?
It's a very, very good question. And I think, you know, an E10 mandate by 2020 would be, you know, an incredible thing. And
enormous.
If you look at, you know, that potential volume, you know, they are talking, they do want to promote their, you know, own domestic production, and they have that corn as well. They currently, you know, only have certain areas within China which actually have that mandate as well. So it would need, you know, infrastructure, it would need, you know, their own plants, you know, which are currently already running at quite a high rate to meet their own domestic demand already. So I would be holding your breath a little bit to see, you know, if that does come through. And if it does, it would be, you know, in the short term, you know, medium, long term, a good thing for the U.S. exports.
Absolutely. I mean, it's $1 billion in, or billion bushels in corn demand.
Yeah. I mean, something to think about as well is that the Chinese ethanol price is actually tied to gasoline as well. So its price is a little bit different to other regions as well.
Very good. Very good. Real quick, last question. Please explain why someone would pay more for the same octane just to have no ethanol. No answer to that. I asked them during the break, and they just shook their head. No idea why. Donna, thank you for joining us. Sophie, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it very much, guys. Have a good time down here.
What do you think, sweets? Should I wear this dress or the green dress tonight? Oh, really? You thought the green one looked better? This is the green dress. I swear.
Your Farm Dog USA assistant won't be able to help your wife make intelligent fashion decisions. But he will be able to help around the farm by picking up drop tools, managing your herd, and opening latch gates. Learn more at farmdog.org. That's PHARMdog.org.
Where do you turn to protect your bottom line? It's time you turn to ProFarmer for easy-to-follow market news and advice for both cash marketers and futures and options users.
Visit TryProFarmer.com today for a no-obligation four-week trial to the nation's number one marketing newsletter. That's TryProFarmer.com. ProFarmer is not a brokerage firm, so you're not going to get a lot of in-and-out trading advice or elaborate option strategies. You will get rock-solid fundamental market outlook and recommendations that farmers have relied on for generations. Stop sifting through mountains of confusing analysis. ProFarmer selects only the most important news to save you time and keep you focused on what really matters. Make better informed marketing decisions to protect your bottom line. Try the ProFarmer newsletter absolutely free. Visit TryProFarmer.com. That's TryProFarmer.com.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
The Climate Field View platform gives you the digital tools to uncover data-driven insights so you can make better farm management decisions and get the most out of every acre. To learn what Climate Field View can do for your operation, contact your local dealer or visit climate.com for more information. Climate Field View services provide estimates or recommendations and do not guarantee results. More information at www.climate.com/disclaimers.
This is Andrew McRae, host of the American Countryside, inviting you to join myself and farm journal listeners on an adventure to Italy, August 8th through the 17th. We'll enjoy Rome, Florence, and Venice, see the Colosseum, the canals, rolling hills, and sprawling vineyards, and much more. Get the details by clicking the link at AmericanCountryside.com or just give Colette Travel a call at 800-581-8942. That's 581-8942, and mention American Countryside's Reflections of Italy tour. There's an early bird discount for farm journal listeners, so don't wait. Join us today.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at ShopFarmJournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com.
So, Mr. Woof, is it? Are you absolutely sure you want to take your money out of this strategic financial portfolio and put it all into dog toys?
Your Farm Dog USA assistant won't be able to make savvy financial decisions for you, but he will be able to help around the farm by picking up drop tools, managing your herd, and opening latch gates. Learn more at pharmdog.org. Tired of yesterday's missed weeds becoming today's big problem? Get rid of missed weeds for good with Liberty, the herbicide that puts an end to missed weeds, guaranteed. Plus, Liberty is proven effective on tough-to-control and resistant grasses and broadleaf weeds. So choose Liberty, the simply better solution for superior weed control. Backed by the Liberty Weed Control Guarantee. Talk to your retailer to learn how you can qualify for the Liberty Guarantee. Always read and follow label directions.
Next Era Energy Resources, an American company working side-by-side with farmers and ranchers to harness the power of the wind and create local jobs for small towns. Learn more at NextEraEnergyResources.com.
Becky was a beauty from South Alabama.
And welcome back to the National Ethanol Conference down in San Antonio, Texas. Thank you to Keiko Isom and S&P Global for sponsoring AgriTalk ATB down here, making it possible for us to get down here. We're going to talk a little bit of marketing right now. We've got Carrie Johnson. Carrie is the product line leader for Cargill Ag Marketing Services. She joins me now. Carrie, welcome to ATB. How are you?
Doing well. How are you today?
We're doing real good. Real good, Carrie. Hey, Carrie, this is the first time that you've been on the show. Tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us about Cargill Ag Marketing Services.
Certainly. Well, Cargill Ag Marketing Services, we are a registered commodity trading advisor, and we help farmers throughout the Corn Belt and down the Mississippi River market their grain. So we've got a network of advisors that work one-on-one with growers on their grain marketing plans. And, you know, I've been with Cargill for over 5 years now in a couple of different roles and have a background in trading before that. So excited to be on today.
Very good. Very good. Carrie, let's talk about what's going on in this soy complex. I think it's got everybody's attention here. And, you know, we've got soybean prices that aren't even back to the December highs, I think. And we've got soybean meal trading at contract highs right now. It's not very often that you see that kind of a combination in the soy complex. Argentina, is that the big reason for this move in the meal?
It really is. You're trading a weather market right now, and if you watch the markets as they move throughout the day, you can basically, you know, map it with the weather runs, and the meal, you know, meal is just pulling the bean market up. And what I would tell growers to really focus on today is, you know, with the carryouts that we have across the board on corn and soybeans, to really look at these types of moves as an opportunity. You know, coming back to the grain marketing perspective and having a marketing plan, this is where I think it's advantageous to, you know, hopefully you really know your cost of production, you really look at those break-evens, and you're looking at some price targets. And this is a time to evaluate where the market's at today versus those price targets. And if you're behind or you're looking for some opportunity, I think it's a good time to consider that.
Yeah, definitely a good time for those catch-up sales if you do feel like you're behind on marketings. But, Carrie, you know what everybody's attitude is when we get into something like this is, if I sell now, what if I sell too soon? What are some of the options that we can look at if a grower's got that? You know what? I'll say fear if a grower's got that fear, because it is a big concern.
Sure. And, you know, this is where I'll go back to our focus at CAMS is really on the grain marketing side and the risk management focus. And that's where, you know, I think folks need to be aware of, you know, what's their willingness to take risk. And so maybe you've got a percentage of your production that you're willing to take into a weather rally. But I certainly would want to be prudent with the remainder of those bushels. And that's where it's, again, coming down to and just being very aware of the risk that you're taking on. If you want to leave some open for a weather rally, that's certainly a choice. But, again, what we try and tell our customers is, you know, again, coming back to your break-evens and making your price targets. And I think, you know, a lot of folks would be pretty happy with $10 beans. So using your cost production, you know, as a baseline for those price targets, and we have to be optimistic to be in the farming business, but we also need to be realistic based on the carryouts that we're working with globally.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a question of balancing that risk and making sure that you're comfortable when you establish or change those different levels of risk. You remove all the risk, you remove all the potential for the reward coming down, that or potential reward coming later. But if you don't remove some of the risk, if you don't remove some of that risk, it leaves you exposed a little bit too much here. You said it, Carrie, you said that it's a weather market, and I'm not going to disagree with you on that at all. The scary thing is that when weather markets end, they tend to end in a hurry.
They certainly do. And that's, you know, harkening back to what I said at the beginning of our conversation is this is really, you know, model run by model run. And that's where I would, you know, encourage folks to be prudent to that. And, you know, one good rain in the right places can move the market the other direction pretty quickly.
Yeah, okay, so have your targets in place, right?
For sure, and we say that a lot. And, you know, going back again to this, the grain marketing plan, you know, we encourage our growers to look at putting in offers to help instigate that so that when you get to these levels, you know, you aren't one of those people saying, I'd be happy with $10 beans, but now you're at $10 and You know, is it going to go up a little bit higher? So we really encourage people to put offers in at those price targets that work for them.
Yeah, and once you put those price targets in place, have the discipline to leave them there. You
don't
pick those prices for a reason. You pick those prices for a reason. So if you get there, go ahead and take some of that risk off the market, right?
That's what we like to say. Even if it's just a truckload, yeah. It forces you to have that conversation with yourself and potentially move more at that level or look at what the deferreds are offering you.
Very good. Very good. Carrie, thanks for taking the time. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
You bet. That is Carrie Johnson, product line leader for Cargill Ag Marketing Services. Well, we are having a good time down here at the National Ethanol Conference. We've had a great list of guests on both AgriTalk and AgriTalk After the Bell today. We're going to do it again tomorrow for AgriTalk. I'll be in the air for ATB, but it's a great time down here. Davis, let's wrap this thing up, buddy. Tweet of the day.
Today's tweets are brought to you by Temporary Confusion. When confusion sets in, it can be difficult to... Wait, what? Turkey pie pie!
What?
And now today's tweets. At Ashley Laring, on the phone with Grandma, she pauses mid-sentence and screams, "It's full steam ahead, you dumb radio edit!" Don't worry, y'all, it's not her dementia. She was just watching Wheel of Fortune. Little temporary confusion there. At NAB45, just saw the first sub-160 U.S. corn yield estimate. Excuse me, he says. Meant
what?
To say sub-47 millimetric ton RG soy crop estimate. And one more from at Grain Cycles. Just gotta love the ingenuity of some people. Kansas officials now say a dog officially cannot now, Chip, run for governor. Glad to know that.
Okay, good.
Now back to you.
Yeah, I know some. I've known some dogs that would make pretty good governors, but okay.
I've known some governors that would make good dogs, too.
Good dogs, too. Thanks, buddy. Oh, man. Tomorrow on AgriTalk right here at Ethanol Conference, got Ted Seifert stepping in tomorrow on ATB.
The Climate Field View platform gives you the digital tools to uncover data-driven insights so you can make better farm management decisions and get the most out of every acre. To learn what Climate Field View can do for your operation, contact your local dealer or visit climate.com for more information. Climate Field View services provide estimates or recommendations and do not guarantee results. More information at www.climate.com/disclaimers.
Putting in a hard day's work, doing the right thing, treating people with respect. American values as true as the wind that blows through our farms. For nearly 30 years, there's been an American company working side by side with farmers to harness the power of wind, creating local jobs and new reliable sources of income for small towns. We are NextEra Energy Resources, an American company proud to bring clean, renewable energy home. Learn more at NextEraEnergyResources.com.